This is Outside the Round with Matt Barile, a Rage Rowdy podcast.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Outside the Round with me, Matt Barile. Today, a very special guest, a longtime homie. He's a new dad. He's from the great state of Kentucky. Yep. Someone that we used to hang out with a ton back in Midtown 4 or 5 years ago, and he's been absolutely crushing it. It's our man, Kelsey Hart. Brother, how you doing?
Dude, I'm doing good. How you doing, buddy?
Doing well. Made it through the storm.
We're almost on the other side, I feel like. Most people have got their power back. Maybe a few still out.
Yeah, I think there's like under 10,000 left, which compared to the over 100,000 that were out,
it's
definitely better now, man.
But yeah, for
how's
sure.
How's life? You got a little one now?
Dude, we have a little one. December 9th was the day she was born. So it's been pretty life-changing.
Yeah, what's her name?
Coast. Yeah, Coast Alara Hart.
Coast Alara Hart. That's a beautiful name, dude.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
My wife's mom came up with Coast.
Okay.
We were trying to figure out what we were going to go with, and we were on our way home from church, and she spit that one out, and we went with it.
Nice.
So, yeah.
That's awesome, man. So what's it like now balancing music and dad life?
Oh, man, it's been, I've been really fortunate being able to be home a lot. There's just been a few little quick trips I've made in this first month or so. But it's been nice to be able to be home and be around for all the first, these first couple months. So yeah, it's been fortunate on that side of things.
Yeah, it's got to be a blessing to have her born in kind of our slow season.
Yeah,
exactly. Right around the holidays, too.
Yeah, it was one of them things in December. It's like for, everybody in the music business, how much things do slow down. And it's like, couldn't have planned it any better for it to have happened during that time,
Yeah, dude, absolutely. So we got to sit down, I think it was at CRS, I want to say last year, mm-hmm. we sat down in one of those little, where they shuffle you guys around super quick and we're in one of those little, like cattle, literally.
Yeah.
And now this year, you fast forward, you're a damn new face with a whole group of friends that I've gotten to watch, and Nikki T, we've gotten to have play our rounds. I think everybody in the New Faces lineup for 2026 has played a Raised Rowdy event.
I guarantee it.
Over the years, going back to like 2018, 2019, like what's it like now? Because you've been pushing the, playing kind of that radio game, so to speak, but what's it like having your name mentioned in there?
Man, to be honest, I mean, it was such a surprise phone call. I wasn't expecting it, or anything. And just to be a part of, it's a huge deal. And, to be, Josh Ross, we go way back.
we all go back to those nights at Red Door, which seemed like a lifetime ago.
It kind of does, man. It's, anymore when we even drive by Red Door, Tin Roof, I'm just like, damn.
A lot of beers were drank here.
Yes. But it's crazy how, looking back on it, I mean, so many friendships and just early on in those days when, just trying to even get a ride or whatever. It's like the rides were sometimes even few and far between.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, we ain't got nothing to do. Let's go to the bar. And that was what those early days, consisted of a lot. But that's where, I met so many of my buddies,
Yeah, take me back to, you're from not too far away, being from Kentucky. You're just a state away. Some guys like me have traveled across the country when they move here. But take me back to the process of coming down I-65 or I-24. Yeah. Where in Kentucky are you from again?
So I'm from Muhlenberg County, Kentucky. And it's between Paducah and Bowling Green.
Okay, so you're coming I-24, right?
Yeah, 24, through Clarksville.
Past the casino.
Oh. Well, where's the casino at?
The casino's on, there's the one on I-65 that's up north that's just over the Robertson County line.
Okay.
And then there's the other one that's just over the Montgomery County line. There's the Mint.
You know right where they're at. You casino guy,
I do. I worked with Trey Lewis for a while. We hit though. We did some pop-ins at the casinos over the years. But what was it like? When did you get here? I feel like we got here around the same time, right?
So I was still barbering in my hometown. And it was 2016, and that's when I started, coming back and forth. I did that for, I guess probably 2 years, and then, or maybe three, because I didn't really, stay here until I got my publishing deal.
So you were what, maybe like an hour and a half, 2 hours?
Yeah, it's about an hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, so not, it's quick.
Yeah, to me, it's like, that's not far enough to justify a move until you got the thing going on.
Exactly. And it was like, I could go home. So what I would do is I would, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I would drive down and cut hair and write songs. And then I would go back Thursday, Friday, Saturday and cut hair because those were my busy days in the shop.
Those were your clients, yeah.
Yeah. And so I would, you know, I'd get my days in there and then usually play like a local show like on Friday night, Saturday night, and then just come back and, you know, and repeat. You know, that was my, you know, for 4 years, that's about what I did.
Wow. So then when did the publishing deal come into play?
The publishing deal was... right, like during COVID.
Yeah.
So that was
when you guys were all coming, doing our thing at Live Oak.
Oh, yeah.
That's when that was like you talk about Tin Roof and Red Door. Those were those days.
Yeah.
It all kind of happened right around that time. That's it.
Yeah. It was, I think, so yeah. So I got my publishing deal in 2020, and I remember telling my buddy, Colt Mersky, he was my publisher at the time. And I was like, we talked about doing the deal for like, you know, 6 months or whatever, and like been conversating, and you know, we wasn't doing anything in the shop because of COVID, cutting hair, and then like I wasn't getting any money either from my publishing.
Yeah.
And I remember like going to Colt and just being like, buddy, I'm about to have to go to the house.
Yeah.
if something don't happen. And so it was like right in the middle of COVID, and it couldn't have been any better time. And then he called me, he's like, we got your deal done. He's like, you know, you're going to start getting some money. And so that was like my moment of just being like, you know, okay, like this is the first time I've been paid to do music, and I can step more away from the barber and stuff and focus on it. But it was also like right in the middle of obviously of COVID, and like, you know, it was just Zoom stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like, it really didn't sink in until that kind of, you know,
yeah,
you got back to actually writing in rooms.
Yeah. Talk about the importance of finding buddies when you started coming down here. Cause you talk about JR, like Mason Thornley's another guy. He's all over your record life with you. And, and the guys and girls that you got to meet down here early on.
Yeah. It's, you know, my first write was with Matt Alderman, or one of my first writes was with Matt Alderman and Tommy Cecil. And
great dudes.
Yeah. And you know, I lived with Tommy for a while.
Oh really?
I didn't know that. Yeah, Tommy was early on. I lived in his basement, and we were all, me, Matt, and Tommy, and Adam Craig. Like, we were, you know, super good buddies. And then not too long after that, I met Mason Thornley, and him and I, you know, got to be buddies and ran around all the time. And I know you remember Dustin Huff.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
Yeah, Dustin. So we were all like, you know, early on, that was my crew, and still, you know, they still are today, but.
And I feel like that makes the transition to living here easier when you've got buddies doing this life as well.
Dude, it certainly does. And you know, just like anything, I mean, I feel like those guys, I mean, early on there's Mason and Dustin was in my wedding.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, you know, some of my best friends today have came from Nashville. So
yeah. I also got to say, I love that you put out Missing You, because that was one of my favorite Adam Craig.
Yeah.
When Adam Craig would come and play our rounds, I would like beg him to play Missing You back in the day.
Dude, so good. So how long ago did they write that?
They were playing that with us during, I want to say, right around the time that you moved here, like during
16, 17.
During COVID, like when you got here full time. So probably in that 2019, 2020, like, area is when I'm thinking.
Yeah. Now, it may have been because it was, we did a writing retreat, and Adam, maybe this was around the time he wrote it, and he played it for me acoustic.
Yeah.
And
because John Pierce is on that too.
Yeah.
Another great guy.
And me and Mason, me and Mason were sitting there and he played it for us, and we were both just like, my gosh, man, what a song. And maybe a couple years went by and we're cutting the record, and like I had like a few slots like that I was wanting to fill, and you know, didn't feel like I really had, you know, the song that I wanted to cut, and that song just like came to me. I was at the house one day and I was like, I'm gonna call Adam, and I hope nobody, you know, has taken that song or whatever. And he's like, it's all yours. So,
yeah. Talk about getting that record out. Talk about Life With You. And obviously the title track has done a lot for you.
Yeah.
Great song. And I feel like it's a country record, man. There's songs that make you feel something. There's songs that make you want to crack a cold beer. Yeah. Like it is.
Yeah. We tried
country
to just,
music.
Yeah. My goal with that was to kind of touch on a little bit of everything, you know, cause you know, when you think about, a live show, like I want to sing a little bit of everything, you know, and I feel like guys that, you know, that I'd always, you know, looked up to, I felt like, you know, with Blake Shelton and some of these guys,
so
like,
much Blake Shelton on there.
It's just like, you know, I feel like those guys, you know, especially Blake, I feel like he sang, you know, a little bit of everything, you know, the drinking, the breakup, the love stuff. And I've just always wanted to do that too, and not just be locked in, you know, one lane. But that Life With You definitely opened up the door for a lot of things, and you know, it was really where that, you know, that record even stemmed from, you know. So
yeah, talk about put it on the map. Because that was one I was playing Fortnite last night just by myself, just getting practice before getting on the party with the boys. And I was listening through the record again. It had been a minute since I jammed it.
Yeah.
And Put It On A Map came on. I was just bopping my head. I'm like, this is a small town guy from Kentucky singing a damn country song.
Dude, Put It On The Map was a Hardy song.
Yeah, Hardy and Taylor Phillips, right?
Yeah, and Taylor, that they sent to us kind of last minute. And I just loved it, you know. And it's live. It's like one of my, you know, favorites to do to this day. It's still I think it's going to be, we're changing it, I think, to our opener.
Hey, that's a show opener song.
Yeah, it's rowdy.
Yeah, man, it definitely is. And you're getting to go out. You're going to be going out on the road with Dylan Scott.
Going out with Dylan Scott, man.
Excited about that?
I am excited. So Dylan and I, we've known each other for, you know, 6-7 years, you know, when I first got to town, him and Matt Alderman actually used to be roommates. And
isn't it wild how it's all connected?
I know. Yeah. So early on, that was, you know, of course, he had already at that time, I mean, already had a number one song and he was out on the road, gone all the time. So it's not like, you know, he wasn't necessarily out hanging out with Matt and I all the time because he was busy.
Yeah.
While we were goofing off.
Yeah.
You know, but over the years, you know, I've got to know him, and we actually just done a thing in Park City together, and it's probably the most time I've actually got to spend and talk to him, and just hit it off good, and you know, we're both excited about the tour and getting out there. So
that's cool. Park City, Utah, right?
Park City, Utah.
Had you ever been out there before?
So that's actually one of the first places that my wife and I went on like a little staycation.
Nice.
Yeah. And it was during COVID, like we had just started dating like that year before. And of course she's from Utah. So it's,
oh,
not,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's not too far from, you know, from where her parents are from. So she's like, I know a, you know, cool spot. And so that was, that was our first like hangout spot.
Yeah. I did St. Patrick's Day out there with my girlfriend and another couple that we're friends with.
Yeah.
By two years ago, we went out there, and it was
it's
awesome.
A cool spot.
It is a cool spot. Those old bars that are in there.
Oh yeah. And they got some dang, I'm trying to think of, what was that bar?
I forget the name of it. I'm going to have to look.
Oh, No Name.
The No Name bar.
Kobe,
yeah,
Kobe remembered. Yeah, No Name. Yeah, that was a really cool bar.
Yeah, because we went to, I'm going to have to look it up on the damn, the No Name Saloon.
The No Name Saloon.
No Name Saloon, hung out in there. There's the Spur Bar, the Cabin. There's a bar, that whole little strip, Boneyard. Like, there's a whole little strip going up that hill.
Yeah. Oh, it's a spot, man. We played at the Premier Lounge.
Okay.
Is where we did a full band show for the radio folks at that place, and it was cool.
Nice, dude. And it's wild, like, flying out there and seeing the mountains, and it's just such a different world.
Oh, it's a different world, yeah.
Like, that's what blew my mind, because I'd never really, I'd been to Colorado touring, but I'd never really been to that part of the country. And it's,
well, it was the same for me, dude. When Omni and I started dating, I'd never been out west at all. So it was like, and then I was making a trip out there like once a month for a year.
Wow.
You know, because we were doing long distance, and, well, actually, we would like rotate months. She would you know, she'd come here 1 month and I'd go there.
How'd you meet her?
So met her, I was living at the time out in Mount Juliet with Rob Williford.
Rowdy Rob, dude. Oh, yeah. I spent some nights at that house.
Oh, yeah. 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 So I was living out there, and me and Dustin Huff, you know, we were both out there, and Omni and some of her friends came to town, and he was friends with one of her mutual friends, and so they, you know, it's like, hey, we want to, you know, you show us around or whatever. So I'd been out the night before, I think it was Whiskey Jam.
Yeah.
Back when, you know, it was at Winter's and had just sent it. You know, I was hungover and I told Huff, I was like, buddy, you take them out, show them around. I'm like, I'm just not feeling it. So, you know, I'm up there in my room and he calls me after they get there. And he's like, man, I think, you know, you may want to come down here. And I was like, all right. I walk downstairs, and of course, Omni's there. My wife, you know, now she's standing there in the kitchen, and all of a sudden, I start feeling a little better. So I was like, all right, you know, I went and put my clothes on, and we went down there by Winners and Losers, and I think the first bar we went to was Kung Fu.
Yeah.
And we got drinks, and we just, you know, we both sat down. We hadn't really talked much at all before this point, you know, and... Because we were just at the house for a few minutes, made the car ride. You know, we sat there. We both got a drink, and I don't think we got up for, I don't know. I mean, everybody else was partying, running around, and we just sat there and locked in and talked. And
wow.
That's
and awesome.
I guess, you know, hadn't been a day since I didn't talk to her. But when she did tell me that that she was from Utah, like pretty soon into the conversation, I was like, ah. Like, you know, that's a long way off.
Yeah.
But we figured it out.
That's awesome.
So
that's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those Midtown days, especially like after the Thursday Whiskey Jam, when people would come in on the Friday, if there was somebody that you knew coming in on that Friday and then you were kind of obligated to go out on Broadway or something and you're hurting after a late night doing the circuit of Winners to Losers to Red Door.
Well, they don't realize. See, because that kind of goes back to going home on the weekends. So we would do Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday was kind of a little bit more chill for us, but Monday and Tuesday night we got after it.
Yeah.
And then Wednesday, you know, would maybe go after there was something going on. What was it, like the Why Not Wednesday?
Why not Wednesday?
We would do that sometimes. But then I would get home on Thursday night, and then all my buddies every Thursday night was like 2-for-1 margaritas at the Mexican restaurant in my hometown.
Yeah.
So I'd get off work and be like, we got to go do 2-for-1s. And I'm like, hi, you know, after my, you know, stint in Nashville. And then Friday rolls around. Then it's Friday. And then it's like, well, it's Friday, man. We got to, you know, got to go do something. And then, you know, so you can just imagine that, like, that cycle of those, like, 5 years or whatever. It was just like, wasn't a lot of sleeping going on.
No, man. Balancing the drinking buddies and the networking here in town, and then your blue collar buddies that are getting off, and it's like, oh, it's Friday, Saturday. We're gonna go out and do something. We've been busting our ass all week.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Because I'd get home and they'd just be like, you know what, dude, it's time to hang out. And I'm like, bro, I've been hanging.
Yeah.
But yeah.
What was it like growing up where you grew up in Kentucky?
Man, it was, you know, just a pretty, you know, pretty small town. You know, just had some, you know, I played sports and just had some really, you know, close buddies that when we weren't doing sports and in school, we were, you know, riding four-wheelers and fishing, shooting guns, and, you know, just the normal small town stuff. But it was a great place to grow up. And, you know, I always... Being an hour and a half away, I try to get home as much as I can. I'm going home this weekend to see everybody. So, yeah, it's definitely a place that I do say, though, I think now that I've gotten used to, like, just so much to do here and you know, just great food options and all that stuff. Like, you know, that would be the one thing that, you know, I think, like, moving back would be kind of tough because it's just like, man, like, you know, back at home, it's like you got, you know, a couple choices to eat. You know, it's like the older I get, I feel like my wife and I talk about it. It's like, I'm just such a foodie anymore. I'm like,
yeah,
you know,
Yeah, you got the one, the bar, the Mexican restaurant,
yeah,
the breakfast spot,
yeah,
the barbecue joint.
Yeah, there. I mean, you're limited. It's, I think we got a McDonald's, a Sonic, a Subway, and Mexican. And, you know, then there's just a few, you know, there's a few other little spots on Main Street. There's a place I actually played my first gig ever.
Wow.
A little pizza joint. That's solid. People come from everywhere to that. And then there's another place called Holly J's across the street. It's all just small town, just yeah, low key stuff.
When did music really become the option? Like, were you the guy at the party picking up the guitar, or
man,
when did
I was later on. I've always sang. My whole life I've sang and stuff. When I was real little, mom would enter me in like talent shows and that kind of thing. I sang in the choir, or not in high school, but like when I was in like elementary school and stuff. Yeah. And so singing's always been a thing. But then once I got up into high school, it was like basketball and soccer was my life, you know, and singing was the farthest thing away from what I was even thinking about doing. And so, you know, finished high school, went to barber school, and I just knew that I was like, you know, I'll just be a barber in my hometown forever, you know, and I loved cutting hair. It wasn't something that, you know, I didn't ever dread going to work.
There's something about that barber client relationship. Like, yeah, I've got my guy Renee that's yeah, right down the road here on the yeah, Mount Juliet border, and he's my guy, you
he's
know,
your guy.
Like he comes to our Christmas party every year. Yeah. Like you build a friendship and a yeah, closeness with your clients. So yeah, there's something special about that.
Well, I remember growing up, my barber, like I remember thinking like, you know, it's not, this doesn't seem like he's at work.
No, he's
like
hanging out.
Even when I was like getting my hair cut, like I would want to be there. We're laughing, like having a good time. And it got to like my, you know, the end of my senior year in high school, and everybody's figuring out what they're going to do. And I had just several buddies that, you know, their dads were barbers and that kind of thing. And I was like, man, these guys, you know, they have nice things. They seem to enjoy their life. Like they make a good living and just chill. I was like, I think I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
And so that was, you know, for the first, gosh, I mean, I cut hair for, you know, close to, I guess, 8 years or so, you know, including the time I was splitting up
yeah,
between, you know, writing songs and stuff. But yeah, it wasn't ever something that I, you know, dreaded or anything like that.
Yeah, would you ever play new songs for your clients when you were cutting their hair?
Oh, dude.
Show them work tapes and stuff?
So all the time. And so there was this old guy that would come in the barbershop. His name was Marion Tinsley, and he was probably, at the time, was in his mid-80s or so, maybe closer to 90. But he'd always come in, and he'd just call me Hart. He'd say, Hart. And he'd say, you still messing with that guitar? This is the first time he did it, you know, and I was like, yeah, I am. And he goes, get a shovel. he goes, you'll make more money with a shovel. I was like, dang, Marion. But no, dude, it was so funny, man. Some of my best buddies, man, were those old guys that would come to the barbershop and hang out. And a lot of them would want to hear the new stuff and what I was working on, you know.
That's cool, man. That's really cool. That's something where it's like, have you cut hair like while you're on the road? Like, have you cut your guy's hair in the band, or has that become like a party trick for you?
Well, I don't think I've done it on the road, but I cut, you know, all my buddy's hair at the house, you know,
nice,
still.
Yeah.
Yeah. Out in the garage, usually before we leave for the road. Yeah.
That's cool, dude.
Yeah.
Because I think about like some of the festivals that I've been to, they'll sometimes have a barber backstage.
Yeah.
If it ever lines up that we're in the same place, hey, at a we'll festival, I'll have you. That'll be our content
yeah,
piece. Is
we'll
I'll be like, I'm gonna mic. We're gonna mic you up, mic me up, and have you give me a haircut or give somebody a haircut.
I think we should do it.
I'm like, that would be elite,
yeah,
elite level content.
How do you cut your hair? You just do like a fade on the sides?
So I got that New York like curly stuff.
You
but,
do.
But growing
yeah,
up, my dad had like the George Costanza thing where he was
yeah,
like bald in the middle, so he just started shaving his head.
Okay.
So growing up as a kid, you want to look like your dad. So it's like, he always told me bald is beautiful. So yeah. I'd get like a 2 or 3 on the top and then like a 1 on the sides.
Yeah.
I had the curly hair my whole life. My mom would always bitch about me cutting it and be like, why are you cutting your hair? Why are you shaving it?
Yeah.
But we had Sal's barbershop in New York with Sal and all the Uzbekistani guys, like that don't mess with the Zohan dudes.
Oh yeah.
And they would just, and I'd just get the buzz cut, but now it's actually during COVID. I was like, oh wait, I got curly hair, and I was like, let me keep it longer on the top and fade it on the sides.
So you didn't even know you had curly hair until COVID.
I mean, I did when I was like a baby, but it was like, but it was like just get the buzz cut, you know?
But
it's like just keeping the curls going, and then cutting down on the sides and shit. So I think it'd be pretty easy for you. I'm sure. What was your favorite stuff to cut? Were you like mohawk? Because you were cutting there in like the mullet. I mean, you're from Kentucky.
The mullet was just popular. Yeah, it was just. Because that was like Wallen had brought it back by that point. And they were starting to roll in. Like, I mean, we were doing mullets left and right. Yeah. So, yeah, it was that, the mullet, I didn't mind doing the mullet. The haircut that I felt like I probably dreaded doing the most was a flat top.
The flat top.
Because, I mean, and they tell you in barber school, they're like, you know, it's about, you know, one of the toughest, you know, haircuts to get really perfected. And I just never done enough of them to, like, really be that good at it.
Yeah.
And so I would randomly, like, some of, like, the guys I worked with done them for years, and they would just crush it. And, you know, I would do one a month or something. Like, randomly, this guy would sit down in my chair. And the worst was when you'd have a guy that had, like, a perfect one. That, like, he'd been going to, like, the old man that had been doing it for 50 years. And he'd let it grow out a little bit too long or whatever. And then his guy's not there, and he comes assessing your seat. And he's like, you know, just give me this perfect flat top that my buddy over here has been giving him for however many years. And I remember those were the ones where I was like, damn. Like, dude, I'm about to mess you up, dude. No, but, yeah, the flat tops were tough.
Damn. Tell me about the new song about little baby girl, about Little Coast.
Little Coast.
Anything Like You. It's actually out today as we're recording today. This.
Yeah, man. Anything Like You. So a couple months ago, I had a write with Adam Craig and Mike Mobley. And, it was a situation where it was kind of all that was on my mind. You know, we were just a few months out from having Coast. And just Adam was asking me questions about it because, you know, he just had a baby not too long ago, and his wife's pregnant too at the time, and they've since had their baby. And so it was something, you know, Adam and I were going through and experiencing at the same time. And we, you know, we just started talking about wondering, you know, what they were going to be like. And, you know, if that really the closest thing that we have to see that is, you know, her mom, you know, because we knew they were going to be girls, you know? So we started talking about that. And one of us, I don't remember how it went down, but it was just like, man, you know, if she's, you know, anything like her, man, that's going to have a lot of loving to do, you know, and the song just, you know, went from there. But it was, it's a super special one, and I'm excited to have it out there.
Yeah, man, that's great. What are we looking at as far as new stuff coming? Because we're coming up on this year being the 2-year anniversary of Life With You.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you're itching to get more stuff out there.
I am, dude. I've never been more excited about music than I am right now, man. We've got some stuff in the can that I'm really excited about. You know, I think it, not that I'm not, you know, super proud of the first, my first record, because I am, but I think, you know, the longer you do this, the more, you know, you kind of, I guess, you know, kind of figure out your lane and what it is you want to say and the songs you want to record and, you know, kind of what works a little better for you. You know, when after you've released a bunch of songs, you kind of start to see that. And so, you know, just kind of honing in on that and getting a group of songs together that we really do feel super excited about is fun.
Yeah, man, it's got to be great. You got to put out some songs last year. You closed it out. Well, you closed it out with a damn Christmas tune.
Oh,
what was that like?
The old Christmas tune. Santa had a rough year.
He did,
dude. That's a rough one, boy. Yeah. So my buddy Colton Venner,
One of the best.
He's a
one of the best, most underrated dudes in this town.
People are gonna know Colton Venner.
Yes.
He's amazing. But he played this song for me forever ago. And the label we'd been talking about doing a Christmas song for a couple years. And we just, you know, what happens is it's summertime and you're not like, if you're not on top of it, you get behind and then it's too late. You know, you got to have it recorded and turned in and all that stuff early. So around the summer sometime, Sierra, my A&R, she was just like, hey, we need to do a Christmas song this year. And she's like, either you need to write one or we need to find one for you to record. And I just remembered Colton playing that for me. And I was like, if I'm going to put out a Christmas song, I was like, this one is dark and it's sad. And it's like, you know, I was like, but that's the one I want to put out. I just, from the first time I heard that song, I was like, man, that's a tough,
yeah,
tough Christmas song, you know? So.
Yeah. And then you had Fireworks, you had Something That You'd Miss, Freedom. Mm-hmm. I Went to the Bar. You had a bunch that came out last year. Gone with the Wind.
Yep. Yeah, we were cranking them out, man. And that's, you know, what I want to do this year. Hopefully to, you know, get on this single release thing about every couple months, and then probably I want to put out a project at the end of the year too, because we've got a lot of songs, you know. So I want to always put my best foot forward and make sure, you know, that the quality's there and everything, but. You know, it's, you know, when you write and record this much, it's like you want to get them out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So. Now, being a Kentucky guy, are you Go Cats or are you Cardinals guy?
Dude, I'm always been a Cats guy. But I will say in the last several years, I've been a pretty fair weather fan. You know, I haven't watched them a ton. But yeah, I feel like back when, like, you know, when Cal was there, like when they were rocking and like, you know, around the 2015 and, you know,
just 16, cranking out first round picks,
cranking them out, yeah. Dude. And then just so fun to watch. I felt like I was, you know, I watched them a lot more back then than I do now, but, yeah, it seems like they're starting to pick up a little steam though with Mark Pope. So
yeah, I've heard the Kentucky sports radio is like a whole different thing. Like people get really into it.
Oh yeah. Well, dude. And thing with Kentucky basketball, and I'm sure it's like this a little bit everywhere, but I think Kentucky is even more so. You know, you can't lose at Kentucky. Like it, like with Mark Pope, like, you know, struggling, and, you know, even Calipari, as much success as he had, you know, once they started losing a little bit, man, people will.
I know the feeling. I got Yankees bobbleheads right here, so it's a very similar type of thing. You put on that Kentucky jersey. It's not far off. I just realized this guy doesn't even have an arm. His arm fell off.
He's missing an arm.
Ron Guidry. I don't know what the hell happened. I just noticed that.
Poor guy.
Yeah, poor guy. He's got the great mustache though. That great '70s mustache.
He does.
I just realized
this one here in the middle got the.
Oh, this is Don Corleone. Yeah, this is the Godfather right here. I got this at a thrift store in White House.
Oh, heck,
Tennessee
yeah.
Flea Market.
Don't you love a good thrift store,
bro? They're the best. I used to love going to them on the road.
Oh,
you
never
know. That's where we found. There's that eagle knife over there, and we found that at a thrift store going to a festival in
iconic
down near Mont Eagle, Tennessee, I think, or somewhere.
Well, that makes sense.
Nikki T. Yeah, exactly. Mont Eagle. Yeah, Nikki T. was like, bro, we have to have this. And I'm like, all right, Nikki, put it on the business card.
It on the card, baby.
We got it. Yeah. We got all kinds of random little.
No, it's a whole vibe in here, dude.
Yeah, man. We've got a bunch of the show posters and things like that. We got some Kentucky boys behind you. We got old 60 up there.
Okay.
They're from Hancock County, Kentucky.
Dude, that's super close.
Yeah,
they played Hancock County in basketball or in sports all the time.
Yeah, they're outside of they're over in that Owensboro area, man.
Yeah.
What was it like growing up in a state where country music is just so prevalent in Kentucky too?
Yeah.
Like you guys love your music.
We do. I do say, you know, a lot though, it's kind of funny. Like my parents, like growing up, weren't country music fans at all.
Really?
So I wasn't like, my dad was a big gospel guy. Like he always sang at church, and he was a big, he always just had gospel CDs in his truck. So growing up, like that's the music I heard all the time. And, you know, so my buddies, you know, that would talk about, you know, whether it was, you know, George Strait or Brooks and Dunn or Garth Brooks or whatever, like back during that time, you know, it was like, I really wasn't hearing that until like I got like old enough to where like I was like kind of finding music.
What were some of the first ones you were finding? Like when you were in the truck with yeah. the boys on a Friday night?
Yeah, I remember, man, there was my aunt, I think, had an old Brooks and Dunn CD in her car, and like, you know, Red Dirt Road. When, you know, I remember when I heard that song for the first time, which I'm sure everybody feels that way, but yeah. it was just like, I remember that being one that I was like, man, like, I love this.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that was like one of those moments. And then, and then, dude, like, I mean, obviously I loved, you know, it was, I don't know what years this would have been, but it was like when, George Strait's, like Troubadour. And like, I remember that being one
it's
that
like mid 2000s, well, early 2010s.
Yeah, well, I think that maybe had been like early 2010s. Like, I just kind of graduated high school and, like, you know, was really getting into country music around that time. And then, you know, when Blake Shelton put out his Based on a True Story record, like, that was,
yeah.
that was one that at that point was when I was, you know, had really got hooked on country, I feel like.
Yeah, George Strait, yeah, that Troubadour record came out in 07. So, yeah
which that would have been, yeah, around that time.
Which was a great time. I mean, that was when, like, that was when Luke Bryan really hit the scene. That was when Aldean, I think, was on record two or three at that point. Miranda Carey, like, that whole, that whole era. And it's crazy how long a guy, like the distance that George Strait has gone. Like, his first record came out in 1980, and he was cranking out hit after hit after hit. Like, his last, like, big record was back in 2012, you know? So that's 22 years of consistent.
Is that, what was that? Probably I Got a Car. Remember that song?
Yep. Yeah, that was the first song. That was,
I got a car.
Love is Everything. Yeah. yeah. Yeah, there were some great tunes. I remember him playing that on the award shows back in the day, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's wild. Like, and getting to be, for you, getting to be a part of it right now, like, it's such a fun time to be in country music. Like,
it is, man.
It's gone from just being a thing that's in the honky-tonks in the clubs to...
It's getting...
Guys that you've been in the same bar with are selling out stadiums.
Yeah.
Like, it's nuts.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's certainly, I think, you know, with, you know, Wallen, and, you know, it's like just the expansion of country is even... Yeah, it's. I guess it's as big as it's ever been.
It is.
Right now.
And it's only getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Now, you talked about wanting to put out a project towards the end, by the end of 2026.
Mm-hmm.
What are the big goals for you this year?
Yeah, so I would love to, you know, the big thing for me is, because for so long, you know, I was, you know, writing songs and not playing. Like, I wasn't out on the road. I was just in Nashville writing.
He had the deal and the publishing. You had the deals for the in-town stuff.
For all the in-town stuff. But, like, I put so much emphasis early on writing that I looked up and, you know, however many years went by, and I'm like, man, I want to be an artist. Like, I want to be out here playing these shows, you know? And so now that, like, you know, I do have music out, you know, and... we actually, you know, have songs to go out and play now that are released in the world. Like, my focus in these last couple years have really just been, like, trying to build that live presence and get out there. So, you know, the shows are starting to come in a lot now, and my goal, you know, by the fall time, I would love to do a headline tour, like club tour.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just, that's a goal of mine. So we're trying to get that shaped up.
Yeah, you got to do the radio tour stuff.
Yeah.
Talk about that grind a little bit, because a lot of, like, country music fans, obviously, they listen to country radio, but they don't know all that goes into the traveling and working a song like you had to do.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, I feel like I heard a lot of people talk about, like, oh, radio tour, man, it's, like, brutal, it's this tough, but I've loved it. I mean, it's been one of those things. I've made some great friends, you know, at radio, being out there, and just the fact that, like, you know, I love steakhouses.
Oh, and it's like, that's right.
It's like on radio tour, man. It's like, you know, most nights, I mean, you're taking the PDs out to a steak dinner, and I'm like, like, this doesn't suck. I was like, you know, you play a couple songs, you know, for them during the day, get to know them. You know, and sometimes, you know, that they've got some, you know, cool, depending on where they're at and what they got going on, they got some cool things to do during the day and then go out to eat at night and do it again the next day.
All right, favorite steakhouse you got to go to on the road?
So it was in Baltimore. Well, actually, I think my favorite one was in Vegas. And it was the, Ramsay.
Oh, it was Gordon Ramsay Steakhouse.
Gordon Ramsay Steakhouse.
Oh, boy.
That was number one. And number two would have been the Baltimore Steakhouse called the Ruxton. And that was, I got a pretty good story on that, too. So, first time we go to the Ruxton, where it was, my whole band was with me. It was some kind of like radio full band show. So, we flew in the night before. And last minute, we were driving by there, and I was like, that place looks solid. And so, we go in, but we're all just like wearing like t-shirts and like sweats and whatever. And the lady at the front desk, she's like, yeah. I'm like, y'all got, you know, seats or whatever, you get, you know, or we need reservations. And she's like, no, you don't have to have reservations, but like we have a dress code here. And she's like, but lucky for y'all, like we have coats here. And I'm like, do what? And she's like, yeah, like we got enough coats for all of you guys. So we all had matching blazers, like navy blazers on with like sweatpants. I had shorts on, I think, with shorts. But she's like, yeah, your top's just got to look elegant. So once you sit down, you know, your legs and stuff are under the table, but you're sitting at this nice restaurant with this, you know, thing on. So that was, there's videos of that. It's pretty hilarious.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What's your favorite spot here in town? Because we got quite a few states. Yeah. Like you said, you're a foodie. We got a lot of great places to eat here in Nashville.
Oh, dude, I'm a steak man and bourbon guy. I think atmosphere-wise, I love bourbon. Steakhouse that's at the top.
Makes sense. You just said you're a bourbon and a steak guy.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. At the top of the Marriott.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's probably for the atmosphere, drinks, food, the great sides. I really like bourbon steak. Oh, man. We got another one out in Hendersonville.
The Chop House?
It's called Catch.
Oh, Catch 22,
I think
restaurant.
It's just Catch.
Yeah,
But it's out there by the theater, and it's a little hidden gem.
Yeah,
I mean it's the steak's phenomenal, and it's close to our house, and so those are probably my two favorites if we're gonna like go to real nice places. But then, like the affordable steakhouse that's like you can't miss with it is Longhorn.
Yeah,
I love Longhorn too.
You're a Longhorn over an Outback guy.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Longhorn, I think, is the ticket. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I've heard of Catch. I haven't been there yet, but
you gotta go to Catch.
We do Pig Fest every year with Andy Gilley. I think I saw, did I see you
was
guys?
Was that at, that
Yeah,
was
I think
there.
I saw you guys there. Yeah, dude, at the park.
I got so sick that next day.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Not because I ate something there. I don't even think I had anything to eat there, but yeah, that day after I saw you, dude. Down.
Yeah, if we were at, because we do I help host the music for that every year, the concert, which this past year it was the Oak Ridge Boys and Exile. So it's funny you're talking about gospel stuff.
Oh yeah.
And they got into their gospel stuff.
Oh,
and yeah. I'd never been at a gospel show.
Yeah.
I was like, holy cow, these old people are going nuts, man. They were holding their hands up. There were thousands of people in that park.
Dude,
wheelchairs and all. Oh. It was crazy.
Well, every year they do a gospel fest in my hometown. And the lady that runs it called me, and she's like, hey, Kelsey, we want you to open the show for Jason Crabb and whoever else was playing. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, is this Gospel Fest? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, well, you know, I'm going to have to adjust my set list a little bit.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, because I do have songs that can work in that situation. But I'm like, as far as, you know, a lot of the tempo fun stuff, you know, is drinking and you know, different things going on. And so when I asked her, I was just like, yeah, probably no drinking song. She's like, oh no. But yeah, I think I played like 30 minutes and I had to throw some covers in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, mix it up. But yeah, Hendersonville's a great spot to be too, man.
Dude, we love Hendersonville. It's, you know, that was the first place we looked for a house, and we like missed out on the first few, and then we just started looking everywhere else because they're, you know, the ones in Hendersonville seemed like they were just, you know, as soon as we'd look at them or whatever, it'd be gone. And our house ended up, you know, it was during, we bought it in 2022, and it was like the housing market was just booming.
Yeah.
And I remember our person told us, was just like, hey, you know, the only way you're probably going to get this house is if you send in a, like, send a letter to them, you know, a picture of you and your wife and the dog, and like write them a letter. And I was like, you know, just thinking like it's a long shot. But there was like 50 something offers in on the house. And they called us that night, and they were like, hey, we just, you know, love y'all's story. Love that y'all are a young couple that, you know, because a lot of people that were trying to buy them at that time were like the people that are just going to flip them and yeah, turn them around. And they're like, we want like a young family to have the house. So we lucked up getting out there.
That letter ever turned into a song?
It didn't, but it would be kind of cool to read that now. I don't know if Omni kept it or not.
And I'm like, that to me is a story.
That is a story. You're right. Well, I may have to ask her about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Colby's sitting over there being
I may have to dig that up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's sick. Yeah. I love that that area of Hendersonville, and we have a good time with at Pig Fest every year with old Andy Gilley. This year they had the wrestling this year too.
Oh,
Jeff,
how was that?
With Jeff Jarrett, and they had the little people going, the micro wrestling going. There was a little guy, and he dressed like 50 Cent, and they call him 25 Cent. 25 Cent was electric. And then I ended up at the Waffle House with him post-wrestling event. He was out partying with 25 Cent.
I'm going to have to see some pictures.
Oh, dude, I got videos. Him. I got him. I got 25 Cent hitting a guy with a chair, I think. It was unbelievable, yeah. But shout out to Andy Gilley and the great city of Hendersonville.
Dude, 25 Cent.
That 25 Cent. He was wild, man. Yeah, the wrestling was... They did the wrestling in that part. Those guys were cold.
Just top tier,
it was cold,
huh?
Yeah. It was like 40 degrees out, and they're out there, and they put a ring in the parking lot right there.
We saw some wrestling at the Banana Fest.
Oh, you guys went to Banana Fest?
Banana Fest in Fulton, Kentucky.
Okay.
We saw some dang wrestlers out there too, buddy.
So Banana Fest, you're not talking like Savannah Bananas. You're talking like actual bananas.
Bananas. Yeah, in Fulton, Kentucky. I guess it's the biggest. They said they made because they do a parade too, and they build the world's largest banana pudding. They put it in a trailer. A dang, like, flatbed.
That's going on my bucket list of places to go.
Yeah, we tried it. It was good.
Banana Fest. You guys play? Or
we
were
played
you,
that night.
You played Banana Fest?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
We did, man. It was awesome. Yeah, we'll have to go back.
Wrestling at Banana Fest.
Wrestling at Banana Fest. Yeah, we were Friday night, and I think Rodney Atkins was Saturday night. And that little place was popping.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
That's the thing too that you'll see about going out on the road more this year is there's something about like it's cool to go to the bigs, to go to the go to the New Yorks or the Baltimores or the Charlottes or like the Chicago's, like the bigger markets. But there's something about, like Ronnie Dunn says, big timing in a small town. There's something about going to that small town.
That's going
to
be our set this year.
Where you are the biggest thing in that town. One of the biggest thing that happens all year is playing that event, playing that Banana Fest.
Just the excitement from those people, man, are next level.
And then those are the people that are going to stream your music and follow you forever.
Yep.
And they're going to tell their kids one day, I remember when Kelsey Hart came to such and such festival in random town in Nebraska or Idaho or wherever, you know?
Man, it's still like, it's crazy to me. Like I just played a radio show in, San Jose, California, at a winery. And just like being that far from home, you know, and having, of course they've, you know, supported me a lot out there on the radio and stuff, and just having people, you know, come to these shows. And that was a smaller radio show. There was a couple hundred people there, but you know, just to hear people that, like, you know, we were talking about some of these songs that were on my record, like album cuts and stuff that people were requesting, you know, in California. And I'm like, that is cool, man.
That's how you know it's working, dude.
Like that is, you know, that's like, you know, because with Life With You being my radio single, you know, that's one, you know, that a lot of people know, you know, where I go and stuff. But like, yeah, I just remember thinking that the other night. I was like, man, like this girl, you know, she was like country and business, or you know, just some of the random, you know, deep cuts, you know. And I was like, that's pretty cool.
That's how you know you're building a base, when they're listening to track one through whenever the end of it is, and they're knowing it all. Because that's how I was going to concerts, you know. Like I'd go see Brantley Gilbert and I'd hope he'd play Halfway to Heaven, you know, like the deeper songs. Like, and if you've got people like that right now, off of your first project doing that, that's a good sign, brother.
Yeah, man.
You know it's working.
It felt good, man.
That's awesome. For sure. Man. That's awesome. So what have we got? So what do we know? We know we have the Dylan Scott thing coming up. You got a kind of a little hometown show, a home state show playing in Louisville. Excited for that one?
Yeah, that's with Dylan, too. I think that'll be a lot of fun. That's at some theater, I think.
So it's the Louisville Palace.
Palace Theater. Yeah. That'll be cool because that's close to home. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that one. I've had a lot of my buddies from back home being like, you know, we're coming to Louisville, so. That's close enough to the hometown to where I think we can get some people out there. So.
Yeah, dude. That'll be cool, man. Yeah. That'll be cool. Well, hey, I appreciate you coming on here and hanging with me, dude. It's been too long since... I know we saw you briefly at Pig Fest, but it's been too long since we've gotten to hang, man.
Yeah.
And you're one of the guys that we always tell people, like, hey, we had Kelsey Hart on this stage, like the young kids that are coming up playing the rounds and stuff. Like, you were one of our regulars there for a while, man. So congrats on all the success and the new music that'll be coming out. And we'll have to meet up in Hendersonville sometime.
Dude, absolutely. We need to do a round at some point.
Oh, dude, you want to do a round? We could definitely do that. Because we do them over at the local now. So Tuesdays, the rounds are at the local.
Dude, and then, is Big Dan still there?
Big Dan's still there, yep. So cool. we do every other Tuesday, and then Porch Light does the other two Tuesdays a month. And then we do our Rowdy on the Row is now a full band. We kick it off acoustic every week, but we do it over at Odie's, and it has been...
You do a full band show?
Yeah, we've been doing that. We just hit the two-year mark of that.
Well, that's what we need. I want to do that.
You want to do that?
I want to do that.
You want to come? All right, Colby, you heard him say it. You guys all heard him say it. Kelsey, go play a full band thing. Yeah, we do Rowdy on the Row. Have you been to Odie's yet?
Oh, wait. That's Old Dominion's, right?
Yeah.
I have not.
So it's
Is it cool?
So it's the old Rebar.
Oh, yeah. I know where it's at. I just hadn't been in there.
And they bought Kung Fu, and it's called Happy Does.
Okay.
But it's set up. It's like if Kung Fu got like a cleaned up makeover. Like it still has
a little buttoned up.
A little definitely buttoned up. Yeah. Good food. And on the weekends you can go from bar to bar. Like they have it like connected.
Oh, that's cool.
To where it's just you enter on one side and you can kind of mess around on either side.
So y'all do the acoustic stuff at local and then the full band at Odie's.
At Odie's, yep.
Dude, let's do that.
Dude, Odie's is in the production. Have you ever done Moonshine Beach or Moonshine Flats out in San Diego?
I haven't.
So they're two clubs that have been there forever.
Kind of tied in.
Yeah, well so it's the people that own those are the partners with Old Dominion on Odie's. Okay. So it's set up like a venue. There's a green room. The production's great. Big ass video wall. Sound guys are great. Like
sweet.
How long
are the sets? Well, how long are people?
Five songs. Perfect. Five songs a piece, similar to what Ward's done for years with Whiskey Jam or Bus Call or any of those, man. And they're a ball. Yeah, we've actually got one next week. We've got two big takeovers coming up. We've got the Nothing Fancy takeover with her NWTF, which I see you're wearing the Hurricane Marsh. Those guys are good friends of mine, man. I wear their stuff all the time.
Oh yeah,
shout out to Sam and the guys that are out there in Missouri.
They custom made these, dude.
Really?
Yeah. So. This one actually got tailored, so you can't see it, but like put my logo here.
Wow.
And I think there's something on the back, isn't it?
That's
the
cool.
Name on the back.
Yeah, they're good people, man. Their stuff is great.
Dude, so I was playing a festival. Do you remember where it was, Cope? Maybe in Wisconsin. And had some time to kill before the show started. And I was just walking around the festival. They hadn't opened the gates yet, but you know, all the vendors are setting up their stuff. And I walked by and what's Macy's husband?
Sam.
Sam's just, you know, getting everything set up. And I walk by and I'm like, hey, man, I was like, can I buy something yet? Or y'all? And he's like, no, sure. And he's like, how'd you get in here so early? And I'm like, oh, I'm playing tonight on the stage. And he was like, no kidding. And he's like, he's like, well, man, like, you know, get what you want, man. You know, we're going to hook you up and take care of you. And I'm like, no, I want to buy it. And he wouldn't have it, man. They set me up with stuff. And then since then have just been so good to me and sent me stuff. And now making me these show shirts and stuff. So
that's great.
They seem like the sweetest people.
Yeah, they were at Tailgate and Tall Boys every year up in Bloomington, Illinois. Yeah. And I got to meet them through that because I'm the MC of that festival. Okay. So I'm the guy on stage introducing everybody, getting folks on stage, chugging beers, doing all the chaos. Nikki T's shooting the t-shirt cannon. Like it's a whole thing. But I got to meet Sam and Macy and that whole crew because they were vendors at that. So good people. Shout out, Sam. They're going to be in town for NWTF next week,
She texted me and said that they're going to, that if we wanted to come by.
Yeah, so. Same with us. So I'm sure we'll see you there, hopefully.
Yeah,
hanging out at the Hurricane March tent, man, at their setup over there at the convention center. But that's awesome, dude. Well, hey, I appreciate the hell out of you coming on. Mm-hmm. I got some surf sides for you to send home. Take it home to you and the wife can enjoy those.
Absolutely.
Enjoy some delicious vodka iced tea and lemonade. Everybody go check out Kelsey Hart. If you're not following him already, get on the damn train. Go check out Anything Like You. It is out right now. And be on the lookout for new music. And if you are in any of these places, if you are in Cleveland, if you're in Louisville, if you're out in, where's Windsor? You're going to Canada. You're going to Canada.
Josh Rossville.
Josh Ross country, yeah. Have you been up there before?
Yeah, we played with Restless Road out there last year. It was awesome.
Yeah, they
get fired up.
Their country music.
Yeah.
They love their stuff, so you'd be up there with Dylan. You're going from Louisville to Canada. What a route.
Yeah. Just rolling on through.
I love it, man. But y'all be sure to look up our man, Kelsey Hart. For more on us, visit RaisedRowdy.com. Shout out to our friends from Surfside. No bubbles, no troubles. It's not a seltzer. It's a Surfside, damn it. Go check them out, and we will see you next time. For my man, Kelsey, I'm Matt Burrell. This has been Outside the Rim.
I ain't never been the kind for staying one place for too long. Been the best at saying I love you to a girl I love. Only got a couple tricks on my sleeve. They usually just make